Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say once again it's an Inspirational Truth time once again. I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He can be. In fact, if He isn't yours, He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19. And verse 10. Listen, I've turned my Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to be reading a verse or two out of that to you and share a message with you that I believe with all of my heart that God has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song titled, You Can Call Me Grace. I believe it goes right along with the message in a lot of ways. Well, when she gets done with it, I'll be back with the message. You pray for me, you pray for her. Would you do that?
A sinner was I, condemned to die. Then I heard a sweet voice calling me. If you will come by faith to me, I will show you mercy. You'll have a new life, you'll be set free. By the blood be made clean. Because of grace, you can call me grace. If you don't know my name, well, it's all just the same. You can call me grace. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now I'm on my way, all because of grace. It's by grace through faith. Beautiful shore to live forever around the throne, praising Christ my Savior. A child has made it home, all because of grace. Just the same, you can call me grace. You can call me grace. If you don't know my name, well, it's all just the same. You can call me grace. A child has made it home. You can call me grace. If you don't know my name, well, it's all just the same. You can call me grace.
I like that. Man, I like
that. You can call me grace.
I like anything, friend, that deals with the grace of God. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I believe that song goes right with the message that God has laid on my heart out of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 41. And I'm going to read verses 50 and 52. I wish I had time to read much more than that, but because of time limitations, I do not. I'm going to be talking about a man by the name of Joseph. And boy, I'll tell you what a great man he was. What a great picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he was. Remember the book of Genesis 41, verses 50 and 51, the Word of God says this, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah," that's easy for you to say, right? "Priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, he said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Haven't you looked at verse 51 where it says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, because he said, for God, said he, had made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house." I'm going to talk to you today a little while about becoming Manasseh. Becoming Manasseh. Now, there was something that was birthed in the heart and the mind, the spiritual life of this man by the name of Joseph, who had been misunderstood, who had been mistreated, who had been abused and forgotten for a long, long time. Now we come introduced to this man by the name of Joseph in chapter 30 of the book of Genesis, where we find he became a son, a beloved son of Jacob, actually. And his story begins in chapter 37 and all. I would encourage you, when you get time, to read it. What a drama that is. What you're talking about, a blessing. You're talking about a man, friend, listen, that portrays Christ in typology. This man, this beloved, this favorite son of Jacob does that very thing. But when we find Joseph in this message, in this passage that God has laid on my heart for us, we find him 13 years in Egypt. We find him 13 years after being cast into the pit by his brothers and sold to Ishmaelites and sold to Potiphar and forgotten about, went down in prison after Potiphar's wife had lied on him and told untruths about him after he'd been forgotten by the butler who had been released from prison and raised back to favor of Pharaoh. Listen to me. 13 long years had passed. Day in and day out, the sun rose and the sun set. Memory upon memory, pain upon pain, question upon question went through the mind and the heart of this man by the name of Joseph. Can I tell you something? The Word of God tells us here in chapter 39 and verse 2 and verse 21 and in verse 23 that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph, even, friend, when he was away from home, even when he had been misused and abused, lied upon and forgotten about, when he had been hated and envied by his brother and friend, when he had been rejected, when he had been sold out, when he had been forgotten about and lied on and abused, God was with him. God remembered Joseph. Oh, what a man's life. What a life this man's life was by the name of Joseph. Now, I'm going to tell you all something. I'm going to talk about forgiveness in this message. That's what this message is all about. And I'll tell you, I'm afraid, friend, when I get done, there'll be more needed to be said than what I'm going to say. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of people that would benefit if they would become Manasseh today, and if not today, over a period of time. Oh, listen, friend, forgiveness is a hard thing to do. Do you realize that? Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are weeping. Some of you are holding your heart that's broken, the memories that you have. And you'd say, oh, preacher, if only I could talk to you. And you'd say, I'll tell you why I can't forgive. Hey, listen, you can if you choose to. You can by the grace of God. Oh, friend, and listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, those things that you hold and wish upon someone that has hurt you and maybe abused you or been the cause of something beautiful and wonderful being removed from your life, being torn away from your life. You in the anger, you in that angst, you in that hatred and in that pain that only you and God can know. Oh, friend, God wants you to be released from that prison. Those people that you won't forgive, those people that have injured you. You know, the devil lies to you. He'll say, look, if you forgive them, that means that it didn't happen. If you forgive them, that means that you didn't love the one that they injured and hurt. If you forgive, he'll tell you 101,000 different lies. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what? A lot of times some people injure us. It doesn't bother them as much as it does us. And oh, friend, listen, we can imprison ourselves if we listen to the enemy. We can be imprisoned when somebody else has brought that pain into our life, is running free. Now listen, what forgiveness does not do. It does not make the person who has injured us or brought grief to our life innocent. Do you hear me? It doesn't diminish the fact that they have sinned. It doesn't diminish the fact that they're culpable, that they're guilty, that they're awful, that they need punished, that they're wrong, that what they did was an abuse. What they did was a violation, that they made victims of maybe more than one individual. It doesn't mean that you can let them off scot-free, or that it doesn't matter what they did or how they did it. It that's not what it means at all. It does not mean that at all. But what it does mean, friend, it means that, listen, you can be released. It means that you can be set free. It means that you can realize that God is just, that vengeance belongs to Him. And in time, though the judgment wheels of God turn slowly, they grind exceedingly fine. And in a day, in an hour, friend, when all mankind will stand before God to give an account of the deeds done in our body, God will give a just judgment to those who have injured you, have taken some from you, that have hurt you, that have caused you great deep pain and hurt and injury. But listen, friend, listen, sir, listen, ma'am, you can become Manasseh. Let me tell you something else that this does not mean. It does not mean that you'll forget. You'll hear the world say, you'll hear the devil say, well, why don't you just forgive and forget it? You can never forget something. That's not what this means when it says here that when Joseph got a wife and had his firstborn and called him Manasseh, the Bible said, Joseph said, God hath made me to forget. Now listen, it doesn't mean that Joseph didn't remember. He remembered the pit. He remembered hearing his brothers laugh as they sat by the fire while he was in a pit in fear and darkness and wondering and crushed and broken and wondering what he had done to make them hate him as he did, to want for them to want in their heart him to be dead. That's what they were saying. We want you dead, buddy. We hate your guts, so to speak. No doubt Joseph heard them as they were planning and scheming to deceive his father. No doubt he remembered his last look at them as he was going with that Ishmaelite caravan to Egypt. No doubt when different seasons of the year came, he wondered what was happening back in father's house, how mother was doing, how his brothers were doing, how all of these things in that land that he was familiar with was taking a place and passing by. But over the time, over those 15 years that Joseph was being abused and mocked and lied upon and forgotten about and brought into some degree of obscurity, and yet God exalted him. God was working on his heart. God got him to a place 13 years later. You say, "Preacher, I don't have 13 years." Well, you don't have to wait 13 years. Bless God. God can do it in 13 seconds. He can do it in 13 minutes. He can do it in 13 days, weeks, months, or years. Hey, listen, I don't know what God can do, but I know He wants to do something for you, or you wouldn't be listening and I wouldn't be preaching this message. But there came a day. There came a day after Joseph said, "You know what? I remember those days without the pain." Oh, you say, "Preacher, you said he forgot." Well, he did, but this means that he forgot without the pain. And you say, "How do you know that he remembered?" Well, listen, over there in the 45th chapter of Genesis, when his brothers came to him, he remembered. He remembered Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He said, "Look, I'm him. I'm Joseph. I'm the one that you sold me to." Listen, none of us understood what God was allowing, what God was doing in this process. You sold me, but God sent me. You wanted to get rid of me, but God wanted to place me. You wanted me to die, but God brought me here so that not only I could live, but you could live. Do you know what Pharaoh called him? He gave him a name. He gave him a hero name. A Egyptian name. Zaphnath-Paneah. Is that right? That means Savior of the world. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, God is able to bring blessing out of curses. God's able to take pain and produce great mercy. God is able to take the darkest blackness that man has ever seen and sin has ever produced and bring light of Eliot. And God is able to birth, friend, listen, something mighty. And there's nothing, none of us that have ever been birthed without some kind of pain, but all becoming, listen to that, Manasseh. It doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. Do you hear? And that doesn't mean that when you listen, forgive somebody. That doesn't mean when you become Manasseh in light of what somebody has done to hurt you and to rob you and to injure you. It doesn't mean that you're telling them that, listen, you're not guilty, that you can be let go scot-free. That's not what it, and it doesn't mean this either. It doesn't mean, friend, that you have to run up to them and hug their neck and love them. Do you hear me? Oh, you can love them at a distance. Do you know that? You can forgive somebody and still keep your distance. That's exactly right. And the Bible tells us that, how does it say it in the book of Romans? Is to live peaceably with all men as much as possible, the life within you. Hey, preacher. Hey, listen, brother. Sister, I want you to know, listen, that you can forgive somebody that's injured you greatly, but that doesn't mean you got to invite them to your birthday party. That doesn't mean you got to call them up and say, "Let's go out to lunch." That doesn't mean that you bring them into your family functions. Hey, friend, that's not what that means. Let me tell you what else it does not mean. It does not mean a lot of things. Do you hear me? It doesn't mean a lot of things. Again, let me say this before I move on. It doesn't mean, bless God, that you've got to just buddy up and chum up with them. There's probably good reason if you keep distance from some of them. You know what Abraham said to his nephew Lot, and this is a little out of context, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. He said, "Look, Lot, our herdsmen are having trouble, and we're brother. If you go that way, I'll go this way. If you go that way, I'll go the other way. Look, we be brethren, and it's better if we put a little distance between us. It's better than that we put a little distance between us." Hey, I want you to know something, friend. A lot of times forgiveness is misunderstood because people think, well, preacher, if I can't forgive, then God won't forgive me. Now listen, that's a subject, listen, that needs delved into, but can I tell you something, friend? I want you to listen to the Spirit of God right now. I want you to understand what I'm going to tell you is biblical. We don't forgive in order to be forgiven. When you get right down to it, when we talk about, and the Word of God talks about forgiveness in the book of Matthew 6:12, where the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. When it talks about, over in the book of Ephesians 4:30, when it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, friend, we're not forgiven. We're not forgiven. We're not saved, friend. We're not brought into favor with God as somebody that's a sinner that needs to be saved because we forgive someone first. Listen, we are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And let's face it, none of us can forgive until we've been forgiven. Now let me say all this again. And I'm going to stay right here probably to the end of the program, although much needs to be said. Listen, friend. We don't forgive somebody in order for God to forgive us to be saved. Now, it'd be a different subject if I was talking about forgiveness to people that are saved, to people that claim to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if I were preaching about that and teaching about that and this, I'd say this. Although you have someone to injure you, if you're saved, you have trouble forgiving them if you are saved, it won't affect your relationship, but it will affect your fellowship with God. And that's why he said in the model prayer, for those who know God, for those who are his disciples and his followers, to pray, forgive me even as I forgive those that sin against me, that don't deserve being forgiven but need to be forgiven. But listen, sir, ma'am, those of you that don't know Christ as their Savior, those of you, friend, that think, well, I can't be saved until I forgive. Listen, that's the devil lying to you again. That's the enemy, friend, of darkness lying to you again. I'm going to tell you that the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible said that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he said the wages of sin is death, not forgiveness. Hey, the wages of sin is death, not going to church, do you hear me? The wages of sin is death, not being baptized. Listen, friend, let's get our ABCs right, spiritually speaking. I want you to know that you can be forgiven today. I want you to know that God will give you grace to work on that broken heart, to work on that crushed spirit. I want you to know that God will help you with those memories. He'll give you a peace that passes understanding. He'll give you grace, bless God, that you never imagined, because he said, where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. And after 13 long years of being forgotten about by his brothers, being abused and rejected by his brothers, being misunderstood by his brothers, being sold out, being forgotten, being lied on, being abused, whatever words we want to use, friend, God allowed him to get to the place where he said, hey, I can remember without the pain. I've not forgotten the hurt. I've not forgotten the tears. I've not forgotten what Reuben did, what Dan did, what Judah did. I've not forgotten what Pharaoh's wife did. I've not forgotten what the butler did. I've not forgotten, but you know what he said? I've got to the place where it does not eat my lunch, where it does not take my life, where it does not allow me to live and function and go on beyond that. Paul said something similar in the book of Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind. And yet Paul said, listen, I was chief among sinners. Paul was saying, look, I got a past. Paul said, I've got to deal with it. I was injurious. I played havoc with the church. I was holding the coats of those men stoning Stephen. I was awful, but he said, listen, I've been saved. I've been graced. I've been washed. I've been made clean. And now, friend, now I can even forgive myself. Do you know there's some people listening to this, and maybe I should have said it earlier, you have more trouble forgiving yourself than you do someone else. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that true? You have more trouble forgiving yourself than you do someone else. But I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, you can become Manasseh. All you got to do is just come to the Lord. And I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to tell you, becoming Manasseh is better than not becoming Manasseh. Becoming that way is better than living the other way. Wanting to and getting to that place by the grace of God, by the help of God, I want you to know, is much better than living in a way that there is no hope for you. Oh, Father, I pray today that this message will be used by the Holy Spirit to change hearts, to change lives, to change futures in spite of our past. There's injury, there's hurt, there's tears, God, there's pain, there's unbelievable loss and emptiness. But You step in and fill it up and fix it up and patch it up and do what only You can do by the grace of God, and we'll give You the glory for it all, for it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, our Savior, I pray. Well, folks, if you want a copy of this message, write and let me know. In the meantime, I'll be praying. Thanks for joining us today.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.